Ready? One, two, three, go. What? Fuck a rooster?
Yeah. Ginger, fuck a rooster. I fucked a cock before.
Ooh.
Have you ever fucked at mom's house?
Yes.
Me too.
I think we all have.
How terrifying, but also like scandalously exhilarating is it?
Oh yeah.
It's kind of amazing.
It's even better when you're not married.
Living in sin.
The last vacation that we took down there a couple years ago, we were on that creaky bed that was in your old room.
That's the bed I was on last week.
You fucked in our bed last week?
Oh no, the antique room. Okay, no.
We were in your bed with you in it. You and Josh were sleeping. The one that we stayed on.
No, the big king size.
Oh, I didn't know it was squeaky.
It was really squeaky, and we're trying to do it. I don't remember where everybody was, and it was so creaky and loud and knocky. And so we ended up being like, okay, fuck this, and we went to the shower instead.
We ended up being
in the big shower?
Yeah.
Nice. We were like, okay, fuck this, and got on the floor instead.
On the floor?
Yeah.
We did too, on the floor.
No, it was pretty great.
Really?
So, 4th of July, I was pretty tipsy, and I went in the bedroom to change, and Ezra's sleeping on the bed. And I'm changing, and I'm looking at Bobby, and then I'm like, take me. I was literally on the floor, like, spread eagle. And he's like, what? Everyone's out the room. And I'm like, I don't care.
Just chew me right now.
It was such drunken.
Don't wake the baby.
But he obliged.
Sometimes it bees like that.
Yeah. It bees like
sometimes
that.
Sometimes you just gotta get it when you can. Mm-hmm. Even if there's 34 people at your mom's house.
Oh, yeah. Have you guys heard of the little rooster?
No.
It's an alarm clock vibrator.
Alarm cock,
yeah. It's like T-shaped and it goes in your underwear.
What?
Natalie just jumped back in her chair.
And her glasses fell off. An alarm cock!
She's fanning herself.
No, my alarm cock's going off.
Oh, so you have one.
I sure do. She's like, in me now.
So it's T-shaped. It goes in your underwear, and you set it for a certain time, like whatever time you wake up.
Every 5 minutes.
And it wakes you up. The idea of it is to wake you with an orgasm.
Shut your
Please tell me your thoughts on this.
Wait, what's it called?
The Little Rooster.
They really missed out. Yeah.
They did.
They totally missed a golden opportunity.
Absolutely.
I don't know my feelings on that. I really like morning sex.
Yeah, but would you want to be like awakened?
If you have to get up anyways.
Would you like
what
to be
better a way to wake up?
Get off.
A vibrating vagina? I just feel like that's so intrusive.
Not somebody else's vibrating vagina. The way you said it is just, I just picture a shaking vagina next to me.
When you go to bed, you're consenting to your alarm cock.
Well, yeah, no, not on that level, but just like, I don't know. I just feel like I would hate it.
Don't knock it to
the I would hate the sleeping during the night with something in my panties. That part would drive me.
Well, it doesn't go inside of you. It lays on the outside of your vulva.
Yeah, I don't want that to happen.
If you look at it, I'll show you.
Oh, that's sweet. That's pleasant.
Aww. It's like flat.
It's got an alarm clock on the front. It almost looks like a menstrual pad, but really thin.
Yeah.
And made of like a maxi plastic pad, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't like vibrators in general, so I
would. But it looks like this kind of goes a little bit inside of you. If you go to littleroosterstore.com, you can see a picture of it. And
we're not endorsing this.
No, we're not.
We haven't tried it
yet.
So.
I have no idea. I read an article about it on Vice.com.
And what they say?
Where this person tried it and loved it. And apparently people are raving about it. The product description is wake slowly, sensually, pleasurably, feeling confident, happy, aroused.
Alarm cock. I don't know how I feel about that.
I feel like I wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
Because, like, morning sex, do you literally wake up to being banged?
No.
Yeah, I mean, no.
No. And do you wake up and go, take me, like Natalie on the
floor? Natalie does. We don't.
Do you literally open your eyes and go, oh, I need an orgasm right now? Like,
well.
You wake up and you're like.
You wake up, you cuddle.
Yeah.
You kind of wake up mentally. If you're with a cis male, he probably has a morning boner and you're like, ooh, that looks nice.
That looks nice. I'll take that.
And then you're like, take me, Bobby.
I hope everybody's not like that.
Why do I have such a deep voice? That's my sensual voice. Take me, Bobby.
It's your drunken sensual voice.
Take me, Bobby. Why am I so southern, too? My mom is the butt of the jokes.
Sorry.
Do you think that the song Butterfly Kisses is a little bit misogynist?
I want to kill myself every time it comes on. Does that count?
Which one is that?
Butterfly kisses with a mom there. Put little white flowers all up in her hair. It's like a wedding song. A dad is singing to his daughter.
Mm. And it's you like, never heard it?
I'm sure I have. It sounds familiar.
It's awful. It's basically like purity culture.
Yes.
Oh, God.
That's exactly how I felt. Like
he's like talking about...
He's giving her away. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. He's like talking about their... It's sweet. I think his intentions are sweet.
Probably, and it is sweet, but every time I hear it, I just want to scream.
Yeah.
Because it gives this sense of, like, ownership over your daughter as the father.
Yeah.
Until marriage.
Right, and it has this air of, like, I'm going to slap a purity ring on you, and you're mine. You're my little girl until...
Yeah, it's so gross.
I got one of those.
A purity ring?
Mm-hmm.
Did you really?
Yeah.
From dad?
Yep.
Dad never gave us one.
No, do you know what?
He didn't think we were pure.
He was really trying with me.
Yeah, he's like, please don't fuck up like your sister.
He was trying hard.
Do you want to hear the fucked up thing?
What?
I bought myself a purity ring.
Aw. You were like, I do. Putting it on your own finger.
No, I bought my own ring as like a reminder to like stay pure because everybody was getting them and our dad didn't give them to us.
It's a thing. You were a kid. You wanted to fit in.
Everybody else
was getting them.
Yeah, and I wanted to be pure because that's what you were supposed to be.
I never wanted one.
Really?
No, I don't think so. And not that I didn't want one, but I just...
I think you were a little bit younger though when it was like a heavy fad thing for me. Because I want to say I was 14, so you were like 10. You weren't even thinking about sex.
Oh, I was a horny ass 10-year-old.
Oh yeah? How so?
I'm just kidding. Speaking of being a horny 10-year-old, I have said this many times before. Do you guys remember looking back on it? Because you didn't know what it was at the time, but your first feeling of horniness as a child?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So mine was watching the Goblin King on the Labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
And I just yearned for him. And my I felt like this tingly sensation. I didn't know what it was, but I knew that it felt good.
Mm-hmm.
And that I wanted to watch the Labyrinth 1500 times because I just wanted to look at the Goblin King. Yes. And like feel those feelings. Also, Arthur from The Little Match Girl.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
I thought you were going to say the aardvark.
The aardvark really got me off.
I was like, what?
No, Arthur from The Little Match Girl.
Arthur from The Little Match Girl, definitely the Goblin King, because who didn't want to get in that bulge?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
I did. 100%.
He was so hot.
So hot.
Who didn't want to be Sarah? Literally.
I would have been like, take my brother and take me.
Mm-hmm. You'd be like, take me.
When he was like,
worship me and I will be your slave.
Love me.
Oh,
and I will
like,
be your slave. And I was like, why doesn't she just say yes?
Me too. But I never realized until years later that what I was experiencing was being turned on. Because
mm-hmm.
I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why am I drawn to this? Why does the Goblin King give me such a longing in my heart and loins?
Do you want to know what I used to think about? And this was when I was like 9 or 10. I used to lay in my bed and 100% fantasize that Madonna would show up naked in my bedroom and do stuff with me. Madonna was probably my first young child like fantasy. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, but she was also insanely taboo in our household.
Well, yeah.
Super
overtly
sexual.
Open.
Yeah.
And I think somebody around then had told me that there was some music video where she was laying on a bed butt naked. Yes. And I used to like wish for things and think that it would actually maybe happen.
That sounds like most children.
Or wish on stars. And
yeah, that's a thing.
I wish that Madonna would show up and do me. Who did you have your first feelings for?
Tingling badge over.
I don't remember who. I do remember laying on the floor in front of the TV and feeling those feelings and then... Mm-hmm. playing with my nips and being like, really? This is making it even better. Really? I was like 5, maybe 6.
What?
So young.
That's so funny.
I know. I got yelled at.
What?
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Don't touch your own body.
For touching my nips, but I'm like, it feels so good.
I don't want to stop. But you remember having those feelings.
Oh, yeah.
You just don't remember who for. Remember. So let me ask you guys, like, obviously, we grew up learning nothing about our bodies, sex, masturbation, or anything. And it was like, don't touch your body, don't touch your nipples, don't touch your privates. How did you fulfill that? What did you do to fulfill? Because you didn't know. Did you know how to masturbate?
No.
When did you start masturbating?
After I had Zion.
After Zion?
Yes.
Okay.
After I had Zion.
I didn't until I was like 22.
Mm-hmm. That's about the same age as me.
And that's the first time I ever had an orgasm as well.
Me too, in my entire life.
Holy
and
shit.
And the only.
I was younger than that. I was probably 18.
When you masturbated?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know what you were doing, or were you just like seeking it out and doing what felt good and touching yourself?
No, I was trying to.
Okay.
So you knew about it? You'd heard about it from a friend? Or like,
no,
what?
I went to Yahoo Answers,
which
was a thing.
We didn't have that.
We didn't have the internet.
I certainly did.
Google. We did have internet as teenagers, but mom...
We couldn't go in mom's room on her computer and Google how to masturbate.
No, mom... And she monitored the shit out of it. She'd be like, who was looking at such and such? Because it's on
who
the history.
Who was looking at how to masturbate?
Right.
It's Natalie. She's the one playing with her nipples.
That little horn dog.
Like, I'm really happy for you that you had that because you had an outlet. Did it work?
No.
No?
You just tried.
I'm like, what am I doing? So here's the thing. I was like, how do girls orgasm? And people were telling me how. Most of the answers were like, they were creepy.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
People
some
were
of the
creepy.
Fucked up shit you got on there.
One dude was like, really, he's like, lay under the faucet.
Yeah.
In the bathtub. And I'm like, this sounds like it might work.
Like he sounds like a friend. Tell me more, friend.
Oh, I totally tried. And I'm like, spread eagle with the water. It didn't do any. I'm like, this is just making me really clean, I guess. It did nothing. Really, it was kind of painful.
It was
I'm
like
trying to get
a water ghost.
Yeah, I'm like trying to get the temperature right, like burning my clit off.
Oh my god!
Have you tried it before with like a handheld?
Oh yes,
water?
I have. It works.
Not for me.
Really?
No.
It's a little too much.
That's why I hate vibrators.
I love vibrators.
Mm-mm.
Me three.
So you tried fucking the faucet.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work.
Didn't work. So then after that,
look in the produce drawer.
I was going to say that.
Oh, really?
No!
Did you fuck a cute?
No, it was a zucchini. No, I had a vibrating pillow.
Did you really?
For what purpose?
It was in the Christmas swap.
Aw. Aunt Debbie put that shit in.
It was supposed to be innocent, but a pillow's not innocent anymore.
I defiled the shit out of that.
Sure did. Yep, humped the shit out of that thing.
Did it work?
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How old?
17 or 18.
Wow. Good for you.
I wish I would have masturbated that early.
I do too.
I would have been a lot happier.
I would have too. I tried to. I didn't know what to do. I remember taking like using like a brush handle.
The bristles.
No, not the bristles. The
brushing
handle.
Brushing my pubes. I didn't get off on it.
I thought you said broom handle.
Oh, God.
It's like, that's so dangerous.
Oh,
no.
Oh, we're all clenching our vaginas right now.
Do the Kegels.
I will tell you guys something I've never told anyone.
Oh, yay.
What?
This is so embarrassing.
Okay. A cucumber. You did a cucumber.
No,
grapes.
This is worse.
Grapes?
I'm just growing through the bread juice.
I tried so many things. Because I used to have to do stupid shit, okay? Because I didn't even know how to masturbate. After I kind of heard about masturbating from friends and was like, okay, I'm going to try this intentionally. Before that, this is what I used to do to fulfill my sexual gratification. Fucking stand in front of the mirror naked. That's what I was reduced to. I didn't know anything about anything.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know girls could come. I would be having sex with my boyfriend, and I'm like, oh, this is just for him. Like, I literally had no clue.
Getting pregnant. I had a child and still had no idea that
women could come. Yeah.
No fucking
Me
clue.
Neither. It's
if
so
that
fucked
isn't
up.
Some fucked up
I didn't
ass,
either.
Zero goddamn sexual education, then I don't know what is.
Yeah.
We're having fucking babies.
And still don't know.
And still don't know. that I can fucking come.
Yeah. I didn't even know.
We're not even educated about our own fucking bodies.
No.
I know, hence us doing it with broom handles and shit.
It wasn't a broom handle, goddammit.
Welcome to my side.
Do you guys remember that elephant mask?
Shh, you fuck the elephant mask! You did tell me this.
Right, Dan?
Yes.
What?
Do you remember the elephant mask?
I saw videos with it.
Explain the elephant mask.
So the elephant mask was a plastic mask, and it basically only covers your eyes and nose. It's kind of like the Easter Bunny glasses that you put on that just have like the ears, the eyes, and like the nose. Well, okay, so this had the elephant eyes and elephant ears and a long elephant trunk, and the trunk
made
was
out of plastic, and it was
made
hard.
Of plastic. It was hard,
like a dick.
The trunk was long, it was curved, and it was ridged.
Curved for her pleasure.
And ridged.
Oh.
So you fucked an elephant's face.
Basically. I fucked myself with an elephant trunk, basically.
Did it work?
It was the closest I ever came to actually feeling some kind of sensation. It felt really, really good. I never came, but it felt really good.
That's hilarious.
You now ask me how fucking shameful and disgusting I felt when they put it on Marcos for his next Halloween costume.
Oh my god. Poor Marcos.
To be fair, I cleaned it, but I felt like the biggest piece of shit after that, because
oh
it was
god.
A shameful, sinful thing that I had done, and then I saw it on my brother's face that Halloween. It's pretty awful.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I did never try to use anything.
How did you discover that you could?
I just knew that I was really fucking horny. And I literally just like was laying in bed one day and just touched myself. And I was like, came immediately.
Really?
Because it had just been
pent up
for fucking years. When I found out what my body was capable of. Because I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came for the first time, I was like, I mean, just
the heavens opened.
Didn't know my body was capable of feeling such immense pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And then I masturbated every day for like a year.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah. Absolutely.
I was just like, this is fucking incredible.
Do you know how sad I was when the batteries in my vibrating pillow died?
I'm sure.
They were irreplaceable?
You couldn't get inside of it. I think I might have cut into it trying to get to it. So
you
desperate.
Clawed into it with your hand.
My teeth, I'm ripping it. Like a feral animal.
There's feathers flying everywhere.
I gotta come.
Oh, a friend of mine used to tell me that the first way she masturbated was humping a pillow. But it wasn't a vibrating pillow, mm-hmm. It was just a pillow. She's like, yeah, I just used to hump my pillow till I came when I was a teenager.
Huh? What kind of pillow?
Just a regular one, but just like having that pressure
over,
and stimulation
yeah.
on your clit, I guess, just made her come over and over. So,
well, I also didn't really know that a clit existed until I was 22 years old.
Yeah.
So
I'm just really happy that, because I feel like a lot of people that were raised the way that we were raised are still extremely closeted sexually,
mm-hmm.
with just complete purity, shame culture, zero negative
mm-hmm.
sex education, still haven't come to the point where they're comfortable just being sexually liberated
mm-hmm.
and free with their bodies and experimental, and you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm just expressing gratitude for the fact that
oh, yeah.
somehow we came out
oh,
unscathed.
I know.
And now we're extremely
mm-hmm.
sexually liberated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I
able
wonder.
To come all the fucking time. I'm coming right now. And it's amazing.
Alarm cock?
Alarm cock.
I wonder if, like, we are all very sexual, and I am a bit of a freak, and I wonder if it's because
we were so sheltered.
Yeah. Like, we just.
I know, I wonder that too.
I do too.
If it just made us, like, crazy horn dog, freaky.
But at the same time, I'm saying, like, I see people and know people that were raised with the same bullshit that are very still not comfortable with their bodies, not comfortable with openly discussing sex.
I know. But people do clam up when you talk about sex.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
And they're like, oh, I don't want to say. Or they get embarrassed or they don't want to share a story. Like,
I would talk about it. I don't give a fuck. Like,
I
don't
either.
I don't get that. It's just sex.
It's just sex.
It's awesome. Let's talk about it more.
Yeah.
Let's make it less taboo.
Right. Honestly, I feel like if everybody was more sex positive, we would all be so much happier.
Yeah.
Like, couples can't even tell each other
that they're not getting off.
Right. Or what they want in bed. They need prompts from, like, fucking memes. I saw a meme the other day on Instagram, and it was like, here's five other things that you can say, like, when you didn't come, but you want to end the session. And I was just like, what?
Like, you need somebody to tell you the ways to communicate.
Yes. Yeah. And I remember being in that, too, like, with
I was going to say, with former people, I've done the same thing, where I'm like, oh, I totally came. That, good job, champ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, with me, most of my former partners
didn't care.
Didn't even give a fuck, so I never had to lie.
Mm-hmm. The last partner that I had, my ex, was a total fucking narcissist, and he would get angry with me if I didn't come.
Oh my god!
That's a good way to fear coming. Make you fear
coming.
Yeah. I'm gonna scare you into an orgasm. Yeah.
You better fucking come.
Fuck that.
He would get angry with me that I didn't come because it made him feel inferior and incapable. Because
he is.
Yeah, because he was, and he didn't know what the
fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, but he didn't know what the fuck he was doing.
Right.
Because he's a Christian
boy. So it was a reflection on his...
All he'd seen was porn.
...and his ability to...
Right. So I just completely lied because I didn't want him to get mad anymore.
Yeah.
So he very much thinks...
That he made you come.
That he made me come and that he was the first person to
make
me come.
I'm going to call him up and be like, she lied! She never came! So I was listening to NPR on the way to work yesterday. People in Ohio are pushing to declare a medical state of emergency in regards to pornography.
What?
So Republican lawmakers in Ohio are saying that a public health crisis needs to be declared to warn people of the dangers of pornography. And they're saying it's a public health hazard.
Why?
And that it leads to a broad spectrum of individual and societal harms. Porn leads to sex trafficking, prostitution, sexual assault.
Well, I do agree with that. I know that that's a thing. And
it is,
like,
a thing. It's absolutely a thing.
Ethical porn is extremely important.
It's extremely important. And I have serious issues with pornography. But I don't think that you can declare it a public health hazard and ban it.
Is that what they're trying
to
do?
Well, I think that a part of that is because these films that are being made are using people that are being trafficked or...
Most of them.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's why I'm like, absolutely, we should get rid of that.
That's why I hate it. Yeah. That's why I'm saying my, like, mm-hmm. issues with it are. And I agree, ethical porn needs to be a thing.
That's why
it is
like
a thing.
All members
it
are
is.
Consenting. I know. Is it really?
Yes.
I know Anna and I talked about it for a while. Threw around ideas of, like, what would make a perfect porn? And it was completely all members consenting, mm-hmm. being safe, mm-hmm. being respectful, being
real.
Being real, yeah.
Porn is such a farce.
It's such fucking bullshit.
It is.
And I do think that that is extremely harmful.
Oh, yeah.
To our society as a whole. Our sexual relationships.
Oh, absolutely.
Women's bodies.
Oh, my God,
men,
yeah.
You know, thinking that... They can treat women this way, that this is what women want, mm-hmm. having this unrealistic expectation of what sex is.
Mm-hmm.
It is nothing like that.
Well, I know that they make ethical porn, everything in a safe sex environment, with like labor rights and things like that. Everybody's consenting, they're not using sex traffickers, people who've been sex trafficked.
Which is honestly the majority of women in the porn business.
Yeah, I know, that's why.
Not even just sex trafficked, but young women that get completely just taken advantage of, mm-hmm. stuck in this horrific cycle, you know, forced to do these things because they're runaways or they're homeless and they mm-hmm. have not a fucking pot to piss in. So it's like, oh, you're gonna do this horrific, demeaning thing that you don't want to do if you want to. And they're beaten and they're drugged and drugged heavily. Heavily. And it's just so fucked up.
It's
so
awful.
Fucked up.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not anti-porn, but I'm anti all the things about porn.
I'm anti-porn, except ethical porn.
That's what I'm saying.
I think all other porn is just fucking misogynistic, disgusting
it is.
Bullshit.
It creates all these bullshit stigmas.
Yeah.
Like, think of how you look at your body because of what you've seen in porn.
Yes.
Or how men look at regular women bodies.
You have fucking pubic hair? It's fucking...
Or, you have asymmetrical labia.
Yeah. Your pussy isn't perfect.
One of my friends was like, I was dating this girl and she just had the most perfect pussy. And I was like, really, is there such a thing as a perfect pussy? And he's like, are you kidding me? And he totally laughed at me because I should pose such a question as, what
does that mean?
What does that even mean?
Motherfucker.
Yeah. And theirs was a lot, their like description of the perfect pussy was a lot of what you see in porn, which is completely bald and
completely bald, you know, completely tucked, completely hairless, absolutely completely symmetrical.
Yeah.
I have went on this rant to you guys, and I'm going to go on it now. Feminine deodorant. It's another unrealistic expectation of trying to be this perfect thing and trying to be this perfect woman and this odorless, hairless lynx, right?
Like, right.
But it drives me fucking nuts.
I know.
I just have been seeing ads pop up over and over.
Lume.
And, you know, I mean, even the fact that they have Summer's Eve that's been in the store since I was a kid, since the fucking 70s, it's vaginal deodorant and vaginal spray. And it's
basically,
don't want your pussy to smell like a pussy.
She said,
well, here, spray it with some flower spray.
Right. She said she came up with it because the founder of Lume said she came up with it because she had a gynecology appointment one day. And that's when it hit her.
Oh, and the gynecologist doesn't know. He went to school for this, but he doesn't know.
Right, has
or
no
she
idea.
She doesn't know
right.
that vagina.
That is one thing I've never cared about.
Me neither.
Going to the gyno, like.
You know how much they've seen.
I know, I'm just like, come on in, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Come on in. Yeah. So, I think we can all agree that we led an extremely sheltered life. We were not educated sexually at all. We've said this before, probably even on the podcast. I feel happy that we're all at a place where we're liberated and feeling comfortable in our own skin.
Yeah. It was the opposite for Josh. He was completely educated. His mom was ridiculously open about bodies, masturbation, sex. He was given a child-friendly book about sex when he was like 8 years old. Yeah. He was gifted all three series of The Joys of Sex, for the books from the 70s when he was a teenager. He researched it, explored it, and had absolutely, it was not taboo at all. And so he didn't go into this overcorrection mode that I feel like I went into.
Yeah.
As a teenager, there was no outlet for those horny feelings.
Yeah.
It was just like, let me look in the mirror, or let me touch myself, or let me try this and see if I get some gratification from it.
Or make out with your friends.
Right. Yeah. And it was complete. God. Yeah.
That's all we got to do.
I made out with so many of my girlfriends.
Me too.
In middle school.
Me too.
And, school.
And it would get hot and heavy and you'd be like, what is going on?
And then you would just stop.
Yeah. Yes.
You would just stop.
I remember I was making out with this one girl. I was probably in 11th grade. And there was this girlfriend of mine and I stayed the night at her house. And there was just so much sexual chemistry.
Oh, yeah.
And sexual energy and this like untapped need for a sexual outlet.
Right.
And we're going to bed. Totally had never even like talked about making out, never talked about being attracted to each other, nothing. And we're laying in bed and we just like grab each other and start ferociously making out.
Really?
Like just ferociously.
I did that all the time.
Yes. And we're just making out and then we like start humping each other and like rubbing our vaginas on each other. And then after like 20 minutes of doing that, and we're like touching each other's boobs and stuff, but then we just both stopped and kind of just laid there and we're like, good night, because I didn't.
What
I
do you
like,
do?
I don't know what to do now.
There
I don't
was
know.
No such thing as a release.
There was no such thing as a release
right.
or an orgasm or like going, like, I don't, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know what I'm doing next.
Right.
So we both just kind of stopped and then just never talked about it again.
I remember going to town on this one girl and she started moaning and I didn't know what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped what I was doing.
Yeah.
And then I would get her going till she started moaning, and then I would pull back because I was like, well, I don't know if that's a good moan or a bad moan. And she was too closeted to say anything like, oh, no, keep doing that, or no, that feels good. Like,
so then we just have even more pent-up sexual aggression and frustration because we're just...
But we think we're getting it out. We're like, oh, this is good.
Yeah, this feels great. This is what I like. This is why I rubbed up on the couch when I was 10. This
right.
is the same feeling.
Because there was something still somewhat fulfilling in it, even though you didn't come.
Right.
Right.
You still got to sort of gratify that sexual need, so you thought that you were fulfilled, but you weren't.
Right.
Yeah.
There was no release.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So every time it was like that. It was like we would go so far
and then you just stop because what do you do next?
Yeah.
You have no idea.
Especially when you're with a woman.
Especially when you're with a woman.
Because when you were with a dude growing up, you knew that once he came, it was over.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing for you.
Right.
when you're with a woman, you didn't expect either of you to be coming.
Mm-hmm. No.
So it's just like, oh, we just do this till we get tired.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then we just go to bed and never talk about it again.
Yeah, right. I'm not going to get a release from this. Yep. It sucks.
We're just going to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And looking back on it, it sucks because it's like, that would have been really nice to explore right. with some fucking knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But they never teach you about lesbian sex in high school.
Oh, God, or, no.
Well, it's because it's a sin, mm-hmm. you know.
They talk about cis male, heterosexual.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the yep. sex you get to learn about.
That's it.
How do you educate your kids? We're all parents. How did our upbringing affect how we're raising our children?
I'm super open with that.
Same here.
Ridiculously open. Yeah. They know about their body. They know mm-hmm. about every single last part. They know about their ability to have an orgasm as a female. They
did
know
they?
About...
Do oh, they?
Yeah, 100%.
So they know about masturbation. And
yep, 100%.
I think that's wonderful.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
When Lainey is sitting there touching her lady bits, I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, hey, babe, this is great. Maybe do it in private, yeah. though, because yeah. you might want some privacy. Yeah.
And that's
you know?
The thing. Setting those boundaries and
yeah.
guiding.
Right. And like, it's totally fine. Right. Yeah, it's totally fine. But hey, why don't you go? You'll be more comfortable up in your bed, you
yes.
know?
Yes. I say the same thing to my mm-hmm. kid. Because it happens. They just start masturbating yep. wherever they're at. And you're like, maybe, you know, at the kitchen table's not the best right. place to do that.
On the living room couch? Yeah. The entire family?
Yeah. Probably not the best yeah. place to do that. But... totally healthy, totally normal. How about in your bedroom
right.
in private where
right.
you can enjoy your body alone? Because
yeah.
that's what we do. I do it too. That's and so I funny. Fully want to educate him on masturbation,
yeah.
sex toys, whatever. Like, I just feel like if we had known that it was a thing,
yep. we could have saved a lot of heartache.
A lot.
Heartache.
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. If I had been masturbating in my own bed, then I wouldn't be going and having unfulfilled sex, not coming, not getting any pleasure. It just being stupid
yes, yes.
and ending up pregnant at 19 years old, like, I'm all about get your kid whatever they
Me
need.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Get your teenager whatever they need.
Buy him a vibrator.
Yes.
Yeah. Buy him the alarm clock.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, for sure. So where do you guys feel like you're at this point in your sexuality? How far do you feel like you've come? Do you feel like you're... completely open? Do you feel like there's still some reservations there?
I feel 100% liberated.
Mm.
I'm in a relationship that's extremely open with lots of communication and lots of talking. And that's what I mean when I say, like, whoever you're with, couples talk to each other about what you want,
mm-hmm.
what's fulfilling. We have these conversations all the time. What's missing? What would you like more of? What would you like to try? The reason that there are these shitty fucking sex trafficked porn bullshit is because people are too afraid to talk about their fetishes.
Mm-hmm.
What if I like something and it's weird?
Yeah.
What's the other person gonna think? It needs to be normalized.
Mm-hmm.
And in the relationship I'm in, it's 100% normalized as we're both sexual beings and we wanna try stuff. So we're extremely kinky, extremely, we'll try anything. And it's just, it's taken a long time to get to that point. I mean, we've been together for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
At first, it was pretty liberated, but not, it's just gotten more and more so
yeah.
because we continue to communicate and talk about and buy new toys and try new things.
Yeah.
And we're just constantly evolving and it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I want to say like good for the last 5 years of this 10-year relationship, we've really been just going into it with a completely open, let's talk about everything, let's try all the things, let's do all the things. We're only going to be young and horny once.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why not have fun with it, explore it, and don't be afraid to tell somebody what your kink is. No kink shames.
Unless it involves poop.
Well, yeah. I draw the line at poop.
Yeah.
I've said that before.
Me and Bobby are super open about all of it, and the freakiness has definitely taken a back seat since having children.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It was way more
adventurous.
That.
Yeah,
yeah, but it's still so fulfilling, and we still talk about everything, and hey, did you like that? What do you want to, you know? And that has been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I will say for me, finally coming out as bisexual has opened up a whole new... yeah, for real, and that is something that I love about Bobby is that he is totally so, I mean, we talk about that all the time. We
mm-hmm.
like, it's like beating a dead horse.
The heart wants what it wants, Freckles.
You know what's so funny to me about the spectrum the bisexual spectrum, which people totally deny is a thing.
Oh my God.
Totally deny.
And that's a huge part of bi erasure.
Yes, 100%.
Because people are like, oh, if you're not like 50-50 split down the middle, attracted to males and females, leaving other genders out of the picture entirely, which isn't true, and you don't have to call yourself pan. If you're bi, it just means you're attracted to more than one gender, and there is a spectrum.
Yeah.
I just wanted to throw that in
there. Right. But the interesting part to me is that I hear you guys talk, and you're like, yeah, I want to fuck every woman I see, and I'm so fucking horny for a girl, and I want to touch boobs, and blah, blah, blah. And I also identify as bisexual, but it's so different for me. It's like I am physically and emotionally attracted primarily to men, but I'm extremely emotionally attracted to women and have been sexually attracted to them in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not something that I like
constantly
think
not
about
you're
or
not
want
looking for
or
yeah.
crave or feel like I need
mm-hmm.
in any way, shape, or form. So
yeah.
it's just interesting
it's,
to me.
Yeah, it's
and also the
spectrum.
Bi cycle is very interesting
yes.
to me, because there's been periods of my time where I've been extremely female centric and only wanted to date and fuck women, and it kind of ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
It's that cycle. But
yeah.
it's just really interesting that there's this very vast, very vacillating spectrum, and that just because that's an occurrence doesn't make you any less valid.
Absolutely not.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
It's just
you're still bi.
Yeah.
It's just there is a spectrum and there is a cycle, and there have been times where we've talked about openness or non-monogamy or both of us going and exploring outside of this relationship. I think that's awesome, and I also think that there's a huge taboo on non-monogamy.
Oh, there totally is.
Or opening your marriage. And there's a huge difference between I'm going to be polyamorous or I'm non-monogamous.
Right.
Or I'm going to go have sexual experiences with just women because I don't have that, but I'm fully fulfilled by you. It just kind of ebbs and flows, and we just kind of go with the flow, and we're open to whatever.
Right.
When it comes down to it, we're still in love, like soul-crushingly in love.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also still sexual beings, and the cycle changes.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe 2 years from now, I'll be like, baby, I gotta go, like,
get a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that'll be completely fine. And that's a real thing. Where are you at with your sexuality as opposed to humping a pillow?
Just, I mean, in a word, just extremely liberated. Extremely liberated. I feel very happy. I feel very fulfilled. I feel no shame anymore. I don't feel like I can't like things or want things or say things.
The no shame.
Like be, yeah, the no
that's
shame
a, that's
is
a good one.
Really big part. I just don't have it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I
didn't even
a lot of that comes from religious upbringing.
Yeah, 100%.
And a lot of people are afraid to explore their sexuality or their possible kinks if they were raised in purity culture or a religious upbringing that was sheltered. And sex was taboo, and sex was bad, and masturbating was bad.
But I also kind of went crazy with sex when I was younger, because I was it was so taboo, and I was so sheltered, and I wanted to just get it all out, and I kind of went crazy. And then I kind of used it for years as this tool of, like, I can have sex if I want to, and I can do this. And I have just recently, over the past few months, really been dealing with my own internal emotional shit in regards to sex and trying to heal my relationship with it. And I will say that I think it really helps to be with a partner that extremely is respectful and sees you and cares about you and wants it to be a 50-50 thing and doesn't want it to be this, you know, misogynistic, fucking male-centric bullshit. I think that that helps immensely in the strides to come to terms with your own sexual needs and wants and liberations to be with somebody that's super respectful. So I think that there's a lot to be said about doing your own work on your own sexual
for sure,
you know, conquests and your own sexual hang-ups and this and that, but I think there's a lot to be said about being with somebody that is just so goddamn loving and respectful. And that is
it's
just
beautiful.
The, it's a beautiful thing, and it makes for the most intense fucking fantastic sex you've ever had in your
fuck
entire
life.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like, there's
yeah.
something about this solical connection in having sex that is just so much more liberating, so much more fulfilling, so much more beautiful. And it's like, it's just a good thing. So
Not like me on the fourth where I'm like, have me, get me off, fucker.
Take me, baby. When this subject of like opening up the marriage or non-monogamy came up, it was because we were going through some shit with depression and anxiety and coming out of a very dark place. And there was a disconnect between us as we were trying to find our way back to normalcy after having suffered some tragedies. But I feel like, I don't know, if you just come at it from a healthy place, whatever.
Polyamory, non-monogamy, it's not for everybody.
Right. Agreed.
I don't feel like it's for me whatsoever. I know that about myself.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable with that. I'm confident with that. It's not something I'm interested in.
Yeah.
And I never will be. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And I don't think that, like, I've talked to a few friends of mine that are poly, and they've said things like, oh, you just wait. You
right.
will be.
Right.
And I'm like, no, I don't think that that equals that. I don't think that being in a comfortable place and being secure and happy means that therefore you get to open up your relationship, because I don't think that those things go hand in hand whatsoever. You know what I'm saying?
No, I think it just depends on the person.
The person. And it what you're comfortable
fully
with
depends
and what
on
you
the
want
person.
And what
yeah.
you desire. And if you are a person like me, I don't have any interest in that. I know that that wouldn't be for me. I know I wouldn't like it. I know I don't want that. And so that's never something that's going to be like, well, when I get to this point, maybe I'll, because
no,
I know
not
that,
at all.
You know what I'm saying? But I just felt like that was important to just say, because I feel like a lot of people view it as like, well, once you get to this point, then
oh,
you're
going
to
no.
be able to. But
if anything, I feel like getting to that point makes it harder. Polyamory, definitely not for me.
Yeah.
Polyamory.
Yeah.
Non-monogamy, depends on the definition of that.
There's such a stigma on it.
It doesn't mean you're any less fulfilled than I am, or that I'm any less fulfilled than she is.
Right.
It's just, it depends on the person.
It's literally a matter of
personal opinion.
Personal preference.
Absolutely.
And that's it.
I just feel like whatever you are, as long as you're doing it in a healthy way. Even
yeah.
like in the meeting on Tuesday at the Bi Plus group meeting, people were saying things about being like self-proclaimed sluts or hoes and, you know, owning that. And I think that that's wonderful. And I think that it's beautiful and no slut shaming.
Right.
But you want to be doing it from a healthy,
yeah,
in a healthy way.
Absolutely.
As long as you're consenting, as long as it's safe,
yeah,
and you're being safe sexually. And
I know that for me, I was extremely slutty in my younger days, and I could have been a self-proclaimed slut. It was extremely unhealthy and extremely dangerous.
Right.
And extremely detrimental to my mental health.
Right. And that's the difference.
And that's the difference.
Should you probably be going to therapy instead? Maybe so.
Yeah.
It just depends on where you're at in your mental health. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm a huge advocate for therapy and medication.
Everybody needs a therapist.
Mm-hmm.